pasta, such a versatile, easy-to-make, comforting meal that everybody loves. Unfortunately, many pasta meals will spike your blood sugar too high and keep it there for a long time. But what if I told you that it doesn't need to be that way? As someone living with diabetes for 35 years, I embarked on a journey to find the best blood sugar-friendly pasta option. I studied nutritional values on every package I could find, and I tested hundreds of pasta meals, both at home and in restaurants. This research was a game changer for me. That's why in this video, I want to rate 10 different types of pasta based on their taste and how they impact my blood sugar to help you decide which one is best for you. And as a bonus at the end of this video, I will teach you 7 practical hacks that will help you keep your blood sugar in check no matter what kind of pasta you eat. Keep in mind, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm just someone who understands your diabetes struggle and wants to help. Let's start with the most popular pasta in the world. I bet you have a pack of Barilla spaghetti in your cupboard. It's a classic Italian pasta made from semolina, which is a durum wheat flour and water. Now, semolina is not the worst type of flour there is. It's definitely better than the all-purpose white flour that white bread is made from. But a small portion of this Barilla pasta has roughly 40 carbs, only 7 grams of protein and less than 2 grams of fiber, making it a high-starch food that quickly breaks down into glucose. And for those of us managing diabetes, that's a challenge. To test it out, I tried a small portion of Barilla spaghetti with a simple tomato sauce. Although I took my insulin with it, my blood sugar spiked to about 200 milligrams per deciliter. So while this pasta gets a 9 out of 10 for its delicious taste, I can only give it 2 out of 10 for its negative blood sugar impact. A total of 11 points for this classic Barilla spaghetti. Now I want to make one thing clear. It doesn't matter if you get spaghetti, linguine, penne or fusilli. Different shapes of pasta don't affect blood sugar differently. What matters are the ingredients and nutritional values. So let's look at this egg linguine next. This one is a bit different from the classic pasta because the manufacturer adds 3 eggs in the dough per each package, which gives the pasta slightly richer flavor. A small portion of this egg linguine has approximately 38 carbs, 8 grams of protein and 2 grams of fiber. So a bit less carbs and a bit more protein than the classic pasta. The added egg might sound promising, but when I tried a small serving, my blood sugar rose to nearly 190. Not as high as the classic spaghetti, but a lot higher than what I would want to see. And that's why I would rate the egg pasta 9 out of 10 for taste and 3 out of 10 for its major blood sugar impact. A total of 12 points. Next up is one of my favorites. This is a local organic whole grain penne from my local store. The only difference between these and the traditional pasta is that they are made from whole grain semolina. And as you will see, this really matters. When we look at the nutritional values, the small portion of this whole grain pasta has roughly 36 carbs, 7 grams of protein, and almost 4 grams of fiber. So less total carbs and double the fiber of traditional pasta. And that's really important because fiber is the kind of carbohydrate that our body cannot digest. Plus, it slows down digestion, which results in a more gradual and more gentle spike in blood sugar levels. When I tried a small portion with a simple tomato sauce, my blood sugar rose to around 160. That's not perfect, but it's actually pretty good. The whole grain version has a slightly nutty flavor and chewier texture than traditional pasta, but I personally don't mind this. That's why I'm giving it 8 out of 10 for taste and a 6 out of 10 for its blood sugar impact. A total of 14 points. So we have a new leader, something that tastes pretty good and doesn't spike blood sugar too much. Now here I have another example of whole grain pasta. This one is made from spelt flour, which is an Asian cousin of a modern wheat flour. The whole grain spelt pasta has slightly better nutritional values and blood sugar friendly profile than the whole grain pasta made from semolina flour I just talked about, but it is even more chewy and nuttier. Another advantage of spelt pasta is that it's easier to digest because the gluten in spelt is highly soluble. But although it is a very blood sugar friendly pasta and gets a 7 out of 10 for its blood sugar impact, I'm not a big fan of how it tastes. So I'm giving it only 5 out of 10 for its taste, a total of 12 points. Now you might have noticed one thing, the healthy whole grain pastas typically have this brownish color. But please be careful because brown color doesn't always mean good blood sugar friendly pasta. Some cheap pastas are brown too, but they're only brown because of added coloring and specific processing techniques, and you should definitely stay away from those. I always read the ingredients and look at the nutritional value. not just the color. As a rule of thumb, I always go for those with less carbs, more fiber and more protein to make sure I'm getting relatively blood sugar friendly pasta. Now, speaking of protein, I have something very different for you. Both of these pastas are nutrients dense options packed with protein, and they can control blood sugar levels better than traditional pasta. This one here is chickpeas fusilli, made solely from chickpea flour, which is why it is nutritionally higher in protein and fiber. And this can slow down digestion and provide a steadier release of energy. A small serving of this chickpea pasta contains only about 29 grams of carbs, 12 grams of protein, and 5 grams of fiber. And the nutritional profile of this pasta makes it very appealing to those of us managing diabetes, because they just won't spike blood sugar very much. After eating this chickpea pasta with a simple tomato sauce, my blood sugar was noticeably more stable, and it stayed under 140 the whole time. This pasta has a bit of a chickpea flavor and firmer texture than traditional versions, so I can give it more than 5 out of 10 for taste, but I rated a solid 8 out of 10 for its positive blood sugar impact, a total of 13 points. The other package I was showing you just a minute ago is full of red lentil fusilli, made solely from red lentil flour. With 31 grams of carbs, 15 grams of protein, and 3 grams of fiber, the red lentil pasta is also very high in both protein and very nutrient dense option. When I ate the red lentil pasta, my blood sugar went up only to about 140 milligrams per deciliter, which is totally fine for me. But the taste is not amazing, so although this lentil pasta gets 8 out of 10 for its positive blood sugar impact, I can only give it 4 out of 10 due to its strong taste, a total of 12 points. By the way, if you're like me and don't love the taste of lentil pasta, you might want to try one of the fortified pasta brands, something like the Barilla Plus series. It's a blend of semolina and red lentil flour, so its taste is closer to real pasta. Just be prepared that it will spike your blood sugar more than a solely legume-based pasta. Now, we still have 4 more pasta versions to look at, and 2 of them will get a 10 out of 10, so don't go anywhere. Next up is another fantastic plant-based choice, loaded with the good stuff. This is the black bean spaghetti. This pasta has just 2 ingredients, organic black bean flour and water, and its nutritional profile is impressive. A small portion has only 19 grams of carbs, 11 grams of fiber, and an incredible 25 grams of protein. The high fiber and protein content is really promising because it indicates that this pasta will digest slower than anything we talked about so far. When I tried it with my simple sauce, my blood sugar started rising very slowly, only about an hour after I finished my meal, but it never went above 120 milligrams per deciliter. That's excellent. The only drawback of this pasta is that it has a strong earthy flavor that can easily overpower a mild sauce. That's why I prefer to eat any bean-based pasta with bolder sauces that have rich and robust taste. For blood sugar impact, it's a 9 out of 10, but for taste, I'd give it only 3 out of 10, bringing it to a total of 12 points. Next, I want to introduce you to a little brother of the black bean spaghetti. Actually, this might even be big brother because it's scored a lot higher than the black bean spaghetti. I'm talking about edamame bean spaghetti, made from organic soybean flour and water. A small portion of this plant-based gluten-free pasta contains only 20 carbs, of which 13 grams is fiber. Plus, it also packs 24 grams of protein. These are similar values to black bean pasta, and as you can see, my blood sugar response was nearly identical, which is fantastic. But here is the best part. The edamame pasta has a mild flavor with a hint of green vegetables and a smoother texture than some other legume options. I was pleasantly surprised how well this complemented the sauce without overpowering it. And that's why I'm giving the edamame pasta a solid 6 out of 10 for taste and an excellent 9 out of 10 for blood sugar impact. A total of 15 points, which is the highest score so far. But next, I want to talk about something very special. I saved this one for later in the video because it's unlike any other pasta on the list and has practically zero blood sugar impact. Let me introduce you to shirataki, aka konjac noodles. Although these aren't technically pasta, they deserve a spot on the list, especially if you're looking for a super low carb option. These translucent jelly-like noodles are made from the konjac plant, which is mostly water and soluble fiber. A small portion of these noodles is only 2 carbs, but nearly all of it is fiber, with hardly any protein or fat. So they're about as close to 0 calories and 0 carbs as you can get. When I tried shirataki, I was impressed Although I ate a big bowl, my blood sugar didn't spike at all. So what's the catch? Well, the texture of konjac noodles is very different from traditional pasta. They have a slightly slippery feel and a mild, almost neutral flavor. They might not fit well into traditional pasta meal, but I really like the taste, especially in Asian style dishes. That's why I'm giving shirataki noodles 6 out of 10 for taste and 10 out of 10 for their non-existing blood sugar impact. A total of 17 points. We have a new leader again. Now, I'm sure some of you might be thinking, Tom, stop this chickpeas and shirataki nonsense. I want the real thing, the real pasta. All right, let me tell you about the most delicious pasta I ever tried. These artisanal spaghetti are made in small batches with traditional slower methods. That's why they retain more nutrients, have a richer taste, and a rougher texture that holds sauces better. And they are delicious. It's a completely different level of pasta. A little downside, this artisanal pasta is usually only available in specialized stores, and they cost a lot. They're about 3 times as expensive as Barilla spaghetti. For my test, I used the Mancini Classic line, although they also have a wholemeal version, which would probably be better for my blood sugar, but I wanted the real thing. But a small portion of this Mancini spaghetti contains a whopping 42 carbs, which is the most of all the pasta we talked about so far. Although I took my insulin, my blood sugar spiked to over 220 after I ate a small portion with a simple tomato sauce. This was the highest blood sugar of all the pastas I tried in the test. But I'm telling you, it was completely worth it, because this spaghetti tastes really good. So I'm giving it 10 out of 10 for taste, but only 1 out of 10 for its negative blood sugar impact. A total of 11 points. Now, I want to make one thing clear. It is very possible to eat these high-carb pastas, like artisanal pastas, without such a crazy blood sugar spike. But you need to do it right, so let me explain. The obvious problem with the traditional pasta is that it is a high-starch, carby food, which causes our blood sugar to spike rapidly and stay elevated for longer periods of time. But here are a few ways to get around it. Number one. It all starts with preparation. The best way to cook pasta is al dente, which literally means to the tooth. Firm and chewy al dente pasta has a lower glycemic index, and from my experience, it spikes my blood sugar a bit slower and a bit less compared to an overcooked mushy pasta. Number two, another thing you can do to lower the glycemic index is to rinse cooked pasta with cold water and cool it down. When I do that, I'm basically transforming some of that starch into resistant starch, which has similar characteristics to fiber, and it doesn't spike my blood sugar that much. Although I'm not a big fan of cold pasta salads, I do realize that it's a much more blood sugar friendly meal compared to a hot pasta dish. Here is another practical tip for you. Number three. See, in Italy, pasta is traditionally eaten as a first course, primi piatti. A traditional portion in an Italian restaurant is quite small, just 2 ounces of dry or about 4 ounces of cooked pasta. Unfortunately, outside Italy, it's quite common to get a huge bowl of pasta, which is 2 or even 3 times bigger than the traditional portion. What I'm trying to say is, you don't need to avoid pasta completely if you have diabetes, but try to keep an eye on the portion sizes, because it's really important. It makes a difference. It will help you keep your blood sugar under control. In fact, another thing that Italians do, and that's number 4, is that before eating the first course, they eat antipasti, an appetizer. The appetizer gives you an awesome opportunity to load up on fiber and protein, even before you get any carbs in. Now, when I say appetizer, I don't mean the white bread they often put on the table right in front of you when you sit down in a restaurant. Don't touch that crap. I'm talking about a green leafy salad, a carpaccio, any other vegetables, lean meat, or seafood-based appetizers. These are typically a great source of fiber and protein, which will make your blood sugar more stable even after eating that pasta later on. Moving on to tip number 5. During my testing, I learned that picking the right kind of sauce to go with my pasta is equally important as picking the right pasta. Here you can see what my blood sugar did after eating a small portion of pasta with a tomato-based marinara sauce. It went up slightly, but then it came down within a few hours. On the other hand, when I ate the exact same portion of pasta with Alfredo sauce, which is loaded with heavy cream and butter, my blood sugar stayed elevated for a lot longer. In my experience, more diabetes-friendly sauces are marinara, pesto, sugo pomodoro, or al-arrabbiata, which are typically lower in carbs and saturated fats. On the other hand, sauces like alfredo, quattro formaggi, or carbonara don't work too well for my blood sugar. Obviously, I also try to avoid any sauces with added sugar, because these are the worst. And here is another tip, number 6. See, the most simple and often the most effective way to avoid a huge blood sugar spike after eating a plate of pasta is going for a walk and get moving. When you do that, your muscles will start soaking glucose from your blood and your blood sugar will not spike that high. It might actually start coming down if you walk long enough. Now, there is one more traditional thing Italians do when they eat pasta that we need to talk about. But before we do that, I have another tip for you, number 7. I mean, this one might be only interesting for you if you inject insulin like I do, but I'll mention it anyway. See, during my test, I learned that different type of pasta meal require different insulin dose, often injected at different time. For a high-carb pasta meal, I need lots of insulin, and I need to inject it about 15 minutes before I start eating. The more fiber and the more protein I can add on my plate, the more gradual my blood sugar spike will be. That's why with those more blood sugar friendly pasta versions, I can inject the insulin and eat right away. Now, when I eat pasta with a creamy sauce or lots of cheese, I might not only need more insulin, but I might also need to split my dose. Take half of it before the meal and half of it about an hour after finishing the meal, or even later. See, I'm doing all of this to align the dose and the timing of insulin action with the timing and the amount of glucose spike caused by the meal, which is not always the same. But here is the thing that Italians do when they finish eating pasta. They take a slice of bread to soak up the leftover sauce on their plate, because no sauce should be left behind. It's a delicious way to finish the meal. But the thing is, bread is another item on the menu that we need to be careful about, because it can spike blood sugar a lot. But thankfully, there are some blood sugar friendly alternatives. If you want to know what they are, and if you want to know what the best bread for diabetes is, click on this video and watch it next. I will see you there. Ciao.